You know, 2017, I think back, I just look around this room and I have been part of your family. I know of your trials and testings, your journeys. You've gone to minister to people, to help them. Some of you have lost sisters, brothers, loved ones in the Lord, surgeries, trials, testings. We've all been through, in many ways, a difficult year. God has sustained us through this year. And you know, life is really a journey for all of us. And that journey isn't always easy. For anyone that thinks, well, I'm just going to become a Christian and that will help me to avoid all of the obstacles and the pitfalls of life. Actually, for a Christian, this life is just a proving ground, a testing ground, preparing us for the blessings of eternity. There are hard days and difficult times, and sometimes we can get discouraged. We can feel like giving up. Some even wonder, is God really with me? Does it seem to you that sometimes the heavens are silent? We're going to turn in our Bibles to a portion of Scripture, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. And I'd like to encourage you to turn to that portion of Scripture with me, if you will. The particular portion of Scripture that we're looking at in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, actually is composed of a praise as well as a prayer. He thanks the Lord that we're cherished of the Lord. He thanks the Lord that we're chosen of the Lord. And he thanks the Lord that we're called of the Lord. And we're going to be looking at three things that we need as we face this new year. Keep in mind that in chapter 2, the Apostle Paul has been warning the church at Thessalonica that false teachers are going to be entering in. And we see it all around in society. Individuals that are redefining the gospel, redefining the Word of God, redefining the principles of marriage and the family and the sanctity of life and all of these things the world is trying to redefine. Paul even talks about the Antichrist that shall come. Because you see, the early church at Thessalonica had received a false, forged letter, as it were, from the Apostle Paul, claiming to be from the Apostle Paul, and it was not. But that forged letter said that the trials that they were going through were those of the day of the Lord and the tribulation period, and they needed to understand and have a clear word from God. So in the midst of all of the trial and testing, these believers needed to be confronted with the truths that would help them to maintain strength for the journey. And as we enter into 2018, I believe that the same truths that Paul gave the believers at Thessalonica are the same truths that are going to be a blessing for us. And there are three things that we need as we face this new year. First of all, as we look at life and its pathway, that's kind of like what you have before you here, as it were, 2018, down the road, none of us knows what is awaiting us. However, truth number one is this: there is a doctrine that we need to hold on to. And this doctrine is given to us in verses 13 and 14. Are we all there now in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? Look at verses 13 and 14. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to demonstrate to you some things that we need to hold on to. Doctrine that we need. And you know, individuals say today, you don't really need doctrine. You don't really need to study the Bible and understand doctrine. The doctrine is what gives us the tenacity and the strength and the spine to stand up through adversity. Where would we be without doctrine, Nancy, if it wasn't as we face a funeral or the passing of a loved one? Isn't it wonderful that the Lord has treated us as friends and He's told us what lies beyond the veil? And that fortifies us. Doctrine is intended to fortify us. That's why we have called our church Central Florida Bible Church, because within the Bible are the doctrines that give us the strength to continue on. Look at some of the things that are doctrines that we need to believe in verses 13 and 14. First of all, the Bible tells us that we were loved. It isn't just that the Lord loves us, but notice how far back His love for us goes. It says here, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation. We were loved in verse 13. He calls these brethren beloved of the Lord. Could I remind you about something as we enter into 2018? God loves you as you go into this year. And we can be assured that God is not going to allow anything in your life that is going to interfere with His purpose for you. And He loves you so much. He demonstrated that on the cross of Calvary. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ. He gave His dearest of all to die on the cross for our sins. And we were loved. You know what the Word of God says? Steve made reference to this in Sunday school. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. He loved us from eternity past. And He was willing to send His Son to die on the cross for our sins. But notice in verse 13, a doctrine that we need to believe. And don't listen to the devil, because the devil will say, well, you know what? God doesn't love you. You've done this and said that and thought this, and God doesn't love you anymore. You are loved of God. And if any of you have not yet received Jesus Christ as personal Savior, I want to assure you that God loves you so much that He's giving you an opportunity to hear this message today. And that opportunity is an invitation to accept what He has provided for you. Oh, what love. Not only has He loved us, but we need to remember as we face the 2018 year that we were chosen. Chosen? Notice it says God from the beginning has chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now that is quite a full statement. First of all, He's chosen us through sanctification. The word sanctification means to set apart. God set us apart from the foundation of the world to salvation. And it's the work of the Spirit of God, but also requires belief in the truth. Have you believed in the truth? You know, in John chapter 15 and verse 16, when the Bible says that God has chosen us from the beginning, in verse 13 of 2 Thessalonians 2, listen to the words of John 15, 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Well, what does that mean? We've chosen Him. You chose him when you received Jesus Christ as Savior. Yes, but in order of time, he first chose you. And therefore, your choosing him was based on his choosing you. And therefore, it says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I've made an ordination. I've made a decree, a commandment. And that is this, that all of those whom he has chosen are going to go forth and bring forth fruit. All true believers are going to bear fruit. Have you ever heard people almost excuse themselves away? Well, I'm just one of those Christians that doesn't have any fruit. But don't mind me. There was a day I walked the aisle. There was a day I raised my hand in junior church. But there's no fruit. Did you know that God, for all of those whom he has chosen, he has made an ordination that his children will bear fruit. Now, some will have much fruit. Some will have less fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold, Matthew 13 says. But all of God's children will evidence their salvation through the manifestation of fruit. That's what God said. I didn't say it, but he says, I've chosen you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, that may he give unto you. But when we look at 2 Thessalonians 2, and we see that he has chosen us from the beginning, that's indicated through John chapter 15 and verse 16. Here's another one in Ephesians 1:4. We can have confidence as we enter into the 2018 year that we are beloved of the Lord. He loves us from the very beginning. He's not going to let us go. He's not going to allow anything in our lives that's going to be for our spiritual detriment. He loves us. He chose us. Look what Ephesians 1:4 says. According as he has chosen us in him the day we got saved. No? Before the foundation of the world. Wow. Now, let me tell you something. Are you myopic? Now, if you have an optometrist or an ophthalmologist ask you that question, sometimes when you get a glaucoma test, you know, when you're over years old, you go for those vision tests. And what do? They put your eye in a scanner, and then they have all of these little dots everywhere. And you're supposed to press the fighter's manual button there. You almost feel like a fighter pilot, don't you? You know. And every time you see one of those dots way up here on the upper right, on the upper left, can't even tell my right from my left, my left or my right, and here's one on the bottom, and you're supposed to press, okay? And by the way, be honest when you do that. You do not want to try to deceive the doctor. And I know all of you have thought about that. It doesn't work. But you press the button every time you see it. And why? Glaucoma will narrow your vision so that your peripheral vision becomes narrowed. It's almost like a narrow margin on a computer screen. And you want to landscape that out. And you might have to take drops or you might have to take medicine to help you. Well, you know what? Many of us are myopic when it comes to our salvation. We think, I got saved and God saved me. Yes, it became an actuality, but from the foundation of the world, look at the big picture. God's perspective, not just man's perspective. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, you are special to the Lord. You can face 2018 with the assurance that you have a God who is not weak or incapable of caring for you. And he says this, you're going to be holy and without blame before me in love. Did you know that before God, we are holy and without blame in Christ Jesus? That great transaction that I was talking about at the service yesterday, where Jesus took our sins upon Himself. But then He also provided His holiness towards all those who believe and receive Him as personal Savior. That is what the Lord has done for us. Then look at 2 Thessalonians 2, and let's take a look at verse 14. Back to 2 Thessalonians 2, this time verse 14. The Lord has called us by our gospel. Now, is Paul trying to get credit for the gospel? Is the gospel of human origin? Not at all. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when Paul received it, it became his gospel. And it's your gospel as well. It's your good news. It's the message that you go and tell upon the housetops. And it becomes your gospel when you receive it. Are you trying to live the Christian life on your parents' gospel? On the gospel of others? God has no grandchildren. He only has His children through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We were called. It says here in verse 14, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9? About our calling. When the Bible says we are called, notice what it says. Speaking of the Lord who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. In other words, the Lord didn't call you and save you because of anything good in you, for there was nothing. He saved you and called you according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus when? Before the world began. We try to make ourselves so big in importance, and yet it was all of grace, all of grace. And the Lord called us. So when we go and face 2018, you are facing 2018 as one that was loved from the foundation of the world, chosen from the foundation of the world, called from the foundation of the world. And also, as we face 2013, number four, there's another critical thing we need to remember about the doctrine that we need to believe, and that is this. Look at verse 14 and 15. And this is our responsibility. To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. This gives us the fact that we need not only a doctrine to believe, but we need a command. We have a command now that the Lord gives us for 2018, a command to obey. And it says, stand fast and hold the traditions. All of you have traditions. At our house, anyway, what we'll do on Christmas Eve is that we have a practice that we, chronologically, we read the shepherd's story of the nativity in Luke chapter 2. And we'll read that portion of Scripture. Then what we'll do is that we'll have a time of family prayer. And we open up one gift from the Christmas tree. And then what we do is that we go to a certain restaurant that we have been going to for the last 19 years, and it's the same one. And I'm not going to advertise the restaurant, lest anyone should think I'm advertising for certain restaurants on the internet. But there's a certain restaurant that I'll go to with my family, and we sit like olive plants all the way around the table. And heaven help the waiter or the waitress when we come around. And heaven help me when I pay the bill, you know. But anyway, that's a tradition that we have. Then we come home, and then when we wake up the next day, we read Matthew chapter 2, the Christmas story from the vantage point of the Magi, when Jesus was a child in the house. And then we open up our gifts, and we have a wonderful time of sharing together. That's not the concept that's taught here in this verse. Traditions. You know, there are a lot of churches that have traditions that are not Bible-based. How many of you know that? A lot of churches have traditions. We've always done this. And when you challenge it, they say, well, it doesn't matter that it's not in the Bible. It's just a tradition, and that's why we do it. That's not the Greek word that is used here in this passage. The word tradition is actually the Greek word paradosis. The word paradosis means to give alongside. In other words, apostolic instruction that has been given to every generation alongside. The word tradition is not just a preference or a custom that may be a nuance or an idiosyncrasy to a certain family, but it is something that is passed along from generation to generation. That's why Paul said, I received of the Lord that which I have delivered unto you. I've passed it on. And this is God's word. How many times did Paul say, these things I declare unto you by the word of the Lord, you see. And that's the concept here. When we face 2018, I want to challenge you to pass along the truths of God's word to the coming generation. God has allowed you to live long enough to see your grandchildren and in some cases, great-grandchildren. And that's not by accident. God wants you to be a paradosis, an agent whereby the truth of God's word is passed alongside an upcoming generation. And we are to deliver faithfully and see to it that they hear the word of God. Now, as you face 2018, we need to really be in prayer that God will give us an opportunity to disciple someone that the Lord allows us to go alongside of the gospel. Let me give you a scripture. You're in 2 Thessalonians 2. Don't lose your place, but go to the book of 2 Timothy, which is two books to the right. 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is a wonderful goal for us in 2018. Here the word of God says, 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now here's where the paradosis comes in. The passing on of apostolic instruction. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit or deposit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Let's get the word of God out to a new generation. And you know, that might be a four-year-old that you'll be bouncing on your knee New Year's Day. That may very well be. But you be depositing. Just like many of you are very well aware that it's the little deposits in the bank, systematically, on a regular basis, that will help you financially in the future. The discipline of saving. And here, the word commit to faithful men is that same financial term, deposit in their lives. As long as God has you here, He doesn't want you to turn into a complainer. or someone who's always talking about, oh, my aches and pains and my lumbago and my arthritis and my bunions and this and that and the other. And, you know, God wants us to be looking for faithful men and be ones who are promoting God's word to a new generation. And what a blessing that is. So we need a doctrine that we need to believe. Realize that you are loved, chosen of God, and you're His, and you are called of God. You need a command to give you vision, to take that message of point one and deliver it to a new generation that needs to hear the Word of God. But then thirdly, there's a prayer that we need to pray. There's a prayer in 2018 for us that we need to pray. And if you'll turn back to 2 Thessalonians 2, notice what it says in verses 16 and 17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us. You see, he's going back to verse 13 now. Who has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Boy, you know, these truths are wonderful for 2018. You have everlasting consolation. You have good hope, confident expectation, in other words, through God's grace. Comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work. Well, you know, the context of this passage is wonderful. Because, first of all, it talks about God's sovereignty in verse 14. He's in control. He's upholding me. It's His power, not mine, that I can face 2018. We need to stand firm, it says in verse 15. Not in phony baloney, ethnocentric preferences and traditions, God's eternal word that's passed on from generation to generation. But the context is all of this and more, because notice, these are the things that we can thank the Lord for. He loved us. That's in the past when He gave us His Son. He encourages us in the present through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You remember when Jesus was tested of the devil, the angels came and ministered unto Him. The angels minister to us and encourage us. He gives us hope, confidence, expectation. All of this is found in verse 16. He has solved, indeed, every problem by taking care of our past, present, and future. Why? Because they're all laid out to Him. And He stands outside of time. And that same God who did all of those wonderful things in eternity past for you is going to fulfill those all the way through into the future. And you know, Brother Jim Forbes, he's in heaven now in the presence of the Lord. But did you know that he has things to look forward to still? Even though he's there, he's looking forward to a glorified body, which he does not yet have. That'll be at the rapture. He's looking forward to coming down with us in that great army of the Lord to establish His kingdom where we come down together. He's still looking, and we are, for the manifestation of the new heaven and the new earth after ruling and reigning with Christ 1,000 years. So you see, even those that are already in heaven, there's a lot more coming, even for them. And they're looking forward to it, and we're looking forward to it, but God is going to take care of all of the needs that we face. So don't worry and don't fret. Said the sparrow to the small little robin, why care these people and run and worry so much as they do? Do they not know that they have a heavenly Father like we do who cares for us? And I've said it before, you don't see the sparrows of the air popping Tums and taking all types of stomach ailment medication. They trust in the Lord, so can we. In light of these truths, pray for two things. Look what it says in verse 16. An encouraged heart and a stable heart. We need to trust the Lord in providing all of that for us. You know, Charles Haddon Spurgeon was called the Prince of Preachers. And he said this, cheerfulness ought to be the atmosphere that you breathe. And if you believe that God loves you, you cannot but be happy because of all of the truths that have been given to us in verses 13 through 17. And when your heart is stabilized, you won't be swayed back and forth through circumstances and emotional mood swings. Why? Because your calm spirit is not based on hormone levels. It's based upon God's eternal promises from the foundation of the world. Verse 13. He's in charge. Praise God for that. So don't go by feelings. Trust in Him. So since God has chosen you for salvation, steadfast amidst all of the trials of life, knowing that God will encourage you and make you strong on the inside, so that your life will be filled with good words and good deeds, as it says in verse 17. And I conclude with these challenges. Number one, you are greatly loved, and for that reason, stand fast. You were chosen by God. Stand fast. You were called unto salvation. Therefore, stand fast. You believed the gospel. Stand fast. You will one day share in Christ's glory. Therefore, stand fast. You have received God's comfort. Therefore, stand fast. You have a good hope by grace. Stand fast. You were established in every word and deed. Stand fast. Therefore, the message for 2018 is stand fast in the promises of God. That old hymn, Standing on the Promises, certainly does apply to our hearts and lives. We're going to enjoy the singing of a Christmas promise, but we're going to close in prayer, and then we're going to sing another Christmas carol together, thanking the Lord. Let's bow our heads. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I have a question for you today. Every one of you in this room, you have received gifts. No doubt about it. Probably more than you can even bring to mind today. But have you received the gift, the unspeakable gift, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ? Now, the gift can be there, but if you don't take it, it's not going to be yours. The Bible says, as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Have you called upon the name of the Lord and received that free gift by faith? Oh, I would be doing a disservice if I did not give you an opportunity this Christmas season to do just that. Pray that sinner's prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm lost. I know I cannot save myself, but I look to You. You sent Your Son to die on the cross for my sins. And Lord, I receive that gift, and I desire that eternal transaction to be realized in my life. Take my sins, for You shed Your blood for them. And Lord, make me a child of God by faith in what You've done for me. I repent of my sins and look to You and place all of my faith and trust in what You did for me on the cross at Calvary. And Lord, I want all of these promises that we've heard about to be true in my life. Oh, I pray that you've made that decision today. Father, bless us. What a joy it is to gather together as your people. And Lord, have just a refresher as to what you've done for us, and you're not going to abandon us this coming year. But Lord, as we enter into another chapter of our lives, we thank you that your grace is indeed sufficient for every need. And thank you, Lord, that we have brothers and sisters in Christ, even here at Central Florida Bible Church, that we can lean on and receive encouragement from. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you would, in a special way, implant these truths in our hearts as we face this coming year. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.